Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman, and it's absolutely a pleasure today to introduce Catherine Hill, who is a Sister of Mercy and has been an individual that I've had the opportunity to know for a little over a year, I think. And in her interest as what she does with spiritual direction for individuals, but also the new venture that she has stepped into, which I find absolutely fascinating. So without further ado, welcome, Catherine.
Thank you.
Do you want to be called Sister Catherine or Catherine?
Catherine's fine.
Okay, Catherine. Okay. Yeah. So as a Sister of Mercy for 51 years, tell us a little bit about what you do as a nun, and then what is, then we'll talk about the work that you're doing as a beekeeper.
Okay. I was a teacher, trained as a teacher, educator, and I always had this desire to be in a God quest. I was always kind of seeking, wondering, questioning. So I did my studies in theology and spirituality and decided that I wanted to do, you know, pursue that more than, you know, teaching theology with students. So I went on to acquire a certificate in spiritual direction in 2003, and then a DMin at Chicago Theological Seminary.
Which is DMin, just so people know.
A Doctor of Ministry.
Okay.
From Chicago Theological Seminary,
okay,
which is United Church. And there I studied kind of the interchange between social justice, action, and spirituality. So sort of God's feet on the ground, that kind of thing. And I really wanted to pursue that and to pursue that with individuals and groups. And so I was given the okay to do spiritual direction. And so I've been doing that since about 2004 or 2005.
And is it correct for you have been a Sister of Mercy for over 50 years?
Yes.
Wow.
51 years, yes.
Oh, you have seen some changes, because the Sisters of Mercy, for those individuals that are not aware, their order is very dedicated. First of all, they're all highly intelligent women. And
Thank you.
Of them are professionals. Many of them are nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sisters of Mercy are the ones who started, like, Providence Hospital.
Well, Providence, like, it would be, those would be the Daughters of Charity.
Okay.
Who started Providence Hospital.
My mistake.
That's okay.
But they were very involved. Was it Trinity Health then?
Health.
Okay.
Mercy Health Services, St.
Okay.
Joe's Mercy.
Okay.
Yes.
So they've been,
yeah,
very involved with the,
sure,
care of humanity, not,
yes,
just quote unquote religious teachings.
Correct.
But the care of the human being, and what does it mean to be,
yes,
a compassionate individual and to literally live it every day. So thank you,
yes,
for what you do.
Thank you.
So tell me about what you've learned about being a spiritual director, or giving people spiritual direction, rather.
Yeah, we call it direction, companioning. Part of it is to allow the individuals who come to us to let us know what it is that God is leading them to, or wanting them to discover about themselves. And so we have conversations where we talk about how it is that their lives are moving forward, where they experience grace, where they don't experience grace. And so it's really about getting people in touch with the deeper parts of themselves. Sometimes it's not about practicing religion, but it is about practicing attention and intention toward the good. So
I like that.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Because certainly over time, religion has become very divisive in many ways.
Yes.
And so to have it be more intentional and directed compassionately is very important.
Right.
So,
right.
And you use you were mentioning you use a tool called an Enneagram.
Yes. Yes.
And can you explain what that is?
Well, the Enneagram is a study of types of personality that we all carry within ourselves. It's sort of like the desire for goodness, or the desire for more, which they would link with a 7 personality. It's very cheery and chipper and whatever. A personality that's very creative and in touch with kind of the melancholic side of life, but that it generates a great deal of creativity and kind of a depth of kind of profound richness. And they create that in the way they dress. They create that in their homes. They create that in their spaces. And we have personalities that are kind of helpers, the nurses sort of personality. We have personalities that are negotiators, that and personality types sort of have it have also a link to what in the Catholic Church we call the seven capital sins. So anger, lust, greed. So each personality type, when taken to an extreme, people get caught in their particular...
In the polarity of the, whatever is
Better in the shadow side. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then obviously also people are multiple Enneagrams. They're more than one personalities. And and how do we learn to be balanced in all of that? That's real important thing.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in, and why I wanted to have you on the show is to talk about your recent interest in beekeeping.
Yes.
And tell me about that. And what has that taught you about the living earth?
Yes. I really had kind of an inkling for this when I was at a program in Chicago called the Institute for Spiritual Leadership. I had done some active imagination work. And in that active imagination, I saw myself kind of in my mother's lap reaching for a honey beehive, a hive with bees coming out of it. And the title was Be Careful, Honey. So it stayed with me a long time. It was just kind of enjoyable to
Was your mother a beekeeper?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
so
my mother was a kid keeper. She had nine, so she was constantly...
My mother was too.
yeah, keeping kids. So it struck me then that was just kind of an interesting dream or an interesting imaginative process. And then in 2014, I was kind of just wandering a little bit, just saying, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Do I need to be doing something different? I had left vocation ministry, which I was doing part-time as well as spiritual direction. And then I was doing vocation ministry full-time and spiritual direction with others. So I was just feeling a little bit like I was being bumped all over. And I read in my journal, maybe I'll just keep bees. So that was in my head. And then when I did celebrate my Jubilee, I had moved out to our campus in Farmington. And there's space out there, natural space.
Yes.
And that natural space, I thought, I could, if I had resources, keep bees. And so for my Jubilee, I received resources.
So tell us what a Jubilee is for those who are not familiar.
It's a celebration of years of commitment within the community. So we had sisters who've been sisters and in ministry for 75 years, 65 years, 60 years, 50 years, 25 years. And we take one day and we celebrate that with one another, and we invite family and friends in to celebrate that with us. So as in response to the Jubilee year and Jubilee, I wanted to do something that would be healing for myself and Earth and our area, you know, Farmington.
Yes. Farmington.
Yes.
Without bees, we couldn't have any farms, could we?
No. So in beekeeping, one of the things that's really important, I did a whole thing with the sisters, a slideshow, is that bees read pheromones. And sometimes when I sisters move into retirement, they have the feeling that they're not really doing anything anymore. Mercies like to be active. And so when we can't do that, when our wings get clipped, we kind of go, now what good am I, right? Bees read pheromones. So when you walk into a bee yard, if you're anxious or fearful, it's a dangerous place for you to be.
Exactly.
Because they pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, there's something wrong here and we need to get that out of here,
mm-hmm.
right? And so they will sting you. And what it occurred to me is that bees read the pheromones all around us, and we have that capacity as well.
Yes, we do.
So we generate that sense of goodness, healing, grace. And so the sisters that are there are doing that. they're generating a positive space and a healing space, not just for themselves, but for all around them, mm-hmm. for as far as that, you know, you that circle of healing that you spoke about.
Yes, it is. It is infinite because energy is always moving.
Right, right. So when I'm doing spiritual direction, one of the things that I like to do is to pay attention to what people tell me and what people are telling me about their lives and that kind of thing, and be really careful. When you go into beekeeping, when you're checking out a hive, you take off the lid of their home. And when you take off the lid of their home, you let in all kinds of air, mm-hmm. cold air, light, and they're sensitive to that. And so when I'm working with an individual, it's like, I can't take the lid off. I need to be sensitive to the air, to the light, to their experience of life and where they need to go. And so it is the individual who leads.
Mm, I love that analogy. And it's so true. When you're asking someone to be reflective, mm-hmm. self-reflective,
right.
they really are shining a light on themselves internally, which often is a dark or hidden space if someone is troubled.
Yes.
Or has some kind of challenge that they have
yes.
kind of pushed aside or pushed deep inside themselves.
Yes.
So what have you learned about the natural world as it relates to bees and how that correlates with humanity? As you mentioned, the pheromones, that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
But what other things have you gleaned from that?
One of the things is bees are pollinators. Butterflies are pollinators. Flies are pollinators. You know, bumblebees are pollinators. And so they're the instruments of our food supply. If we eliminate bees from the world, which we seem to be suffering from, the loss of the bee population is very serious, then we will eliminate our food supply. They've tried to create mechanical bees. It doesn't do the right thing.
No.
It doesn't work.
No.
So as we... what we do to the bees, what we do to animal life, what we do to the trees, what we do to the fauna, whatever, we do to ourselves.
Exactly.
But we're not seeing that
exactly.
necessarily.
Exactly. And that's so true. And also what comes to mind is the roles that each bee has.
Yes.
And, yes. you know, there's the queen bee and then there's the worker bees. And what is always so amazing to me, my daughter has recently become a beekeeper.
Wonderful.
In Louisiana. And how a bee can remember exactly where everything is and then retrace their flight.
Mm-hmm.
And then through an interesting little dance that they do,
yes.
communicate that information precisely to any other bees that need to go out and gather from that same
yeah.
location.
Yeah.
What does that tell you about humans?
It tells me that we're not aware of the intelligence that is around us. We think of ourselves as intelligent and above everything else. So we don't grant to or allow life's intelligence to kind of fill us and to educate us. So, like, I do believe that animals can communicate and animals are very aware when we are in their space.
And even when we're not in their space.
And when we're not
very
in their
aware.
Space. Yeah. They're aware of our effects.
We're in their space.
We're in their space. Correct. So I do think they have an intelligence that we just don't acknowledge because we don't live there anymore. We don't have the instinctive intelligence that we used to have as human persons on the earth. So it's there. It's just that we've muted it. The queen bee, when she's going out to be fertilized, she has to fly 13 feet above the land. So wherever she's flying 13 feet above the land, and that stimulates her to be reproductive. And so then she flies up 80 feet in the air, and then she meets with a group of drones who inseminate her. But it's the 13 feet for that trip.
That is so interesting.
Isn't
that you just shared that with me
yeah.
because I was having a conversation the other day with my daughter.
Yes.
And how our human mind has been so maligned. Our thinking
yes.
has been so maligned.
Yes.
And so the other day, as you may know, was Friday the 13th.
Yes.
And so what most people don't know is it is the day of the woman. So wonderful. 13 was, and it's so interesting because you said that's when the queen bee becomes fertile.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it was, there was an awareness in the indigenous world that there was always a there was 13 moon cycles. There was number 12 that became a religious denigration, really denigrating the information, and that women's menstrual cycles were called moon cycles.
Yes.
So 13 was this, the power of the woman. And
wonderful.
So interestingly, and a bee in terms of ancient iconographic images, a queen bee or a queen was a symbol of the ruler, the queen bee. So it's really interesting that you said that. So what have you, what have you seen as you bringing this back to the women and and especially the Sisters of Mercy that could live relatively isolated lives in terms of what they're doing? You know, in terms of being just a singular female community. How does that affect their awareness of themselves, would you say?
Well, I think, I'm not sure I quite understand. I think they have, the Sisters of Mercy have really helped me become more self-aware and given me the freedom to sort of blossom, at least in this ministry, in a way that I really would have never had the possibility for doing. You know, so the space that we have, the individuals that are there who can't go out but are always saying, can I help? Can I help?
Right.
How can I help?
So the women in the community are always helping one another in a very maternal way, truly.
Yes.
Even though you may not have been physically mothers, you're still maternal because you're female.
Yes.
it's interesting that, that you have that community then.
Right.
And in a hive, the female, the only female, is protected.
Yes. Well, she is the queen bee, right? And then around her are nurse bees.
Oh, there are nurse bees.
There's nurse bees. Those are female.
And what do they do?
They care for the larva, the eggs. They feed. They take care of the queen. They clean her up. They feed her. They make sure that there are cells. They have worker bees that clean out the cells. Those are also female. And they have foragers. Those are female. The drones tend to be larger, and they guard the hive. And
they're male?
They're male, right. And so at a certain point, like this is the time now because it's the fall, they will kind of throw the drones out and begin to get ready for winter. And so the bee's life is not very long. It could be they fly so intensely for so many months that what happens is they just wear out. So maybe they live 41 days or something. I'm not sure about all of it because I'm just learning, but they don't live like a whole year cycle. The queen bee may. She used to live 5 years. Now the queen bees in hives sometimes live only 2 years. And so there's something about the environment that has changed that they just don't have the length of life that they used to have. So in the hive itself, they're mostly female bees.
Interesting.
Yes, yes, and drones. And the female bees are the ones that are the caretakers of everything. They're the ones that forage. They come back. They communicate.
So tell us about, we know that a hexagon is a strong, is incredibly strong and efficient structure.
Yes, yes.
And it is what the shape of a hive.
Yes.
And can be very compact and have a lot of strength.
Yes.
What do you see as the analogy of that, the hives being made of hexagons?
Yeah.
Do you have any thought about that?
I think when we have, when we don't have structure in our lives, whether, you know, if it's external at the beginning of our lives. There's an external structure which helps us form internal structure. When we don't have the external structure, we begin to sort of disintegrate as a human person. It becomes very kind of self-perpetuating rather than communal. So for me, the hexagon is a symbol of kind of that the natural world has a way of functioning and being that is lasting, that's healthy, that's helpful, that when we look at it, sometimes we look at it and we go, well, that's just so messy. And so we manicure it. Mm-hmm. We try and fix it. And in the process of fixing it, we destroy the structure.
Yes.
And in destruction of the structure, then ultimately it comes after us and begins to destroy our inner structure as well.
Well, it's interesting because the last few days I've been working on this presentation that I'm doing at a local university tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to medical people.
Yes.
So it's really, I'm kind of digressing a little bit, but not really, because it comes together, mm-hmm. is we always begin with internal structure, not the other way around.
Okay.
Because our bodies have this mm-hmm. innate design that it is following at the moment of conception. We have no conscious thought of that. We have no conscious awareness of how all of these structures are put in place, and that mm-hmm. our heartbeat is this percussive rhythm. Mm-hmm. Our mother's heartbeat, is the percussive rhythm that is giving information to the cells.
Yeah.
So the term cell is again something that is, it's mm-hmm. a unit of structure that is so beyond our understanding.
Yes.
And already created by creation itself.
Yes.
So how are you finding that this becoming a beekeeper has helped to expand your thinking that you can mm-hmm. then share with others?
Yeah. I think of myself as being calm or peaceful or whatever. And if I go out there in the hive and I get stung, I know that, I'm not very calm. You know, I'm saying, okay, girls, settle down. Let me get, But what it's helped me to do and understand is that the connection between Earth, that Earth is not a resource, it's a source.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not a resource. So when we think of land as a resource, water as a resource, actually we're denigrating it to something else.
Yes.
It's not that. It's the source. And we think of ourselves as separate from Earth, and so we think of God as separate from Earth, and that's not the case.
Mm.
It's all one thing.
Mm.
And we're in the one thing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Creation is the source. The Earth is the source and not the resource.
Right.
So how have you begun to see individuals that you're working with, and to see how people I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but are you seeing how people can quote unquote compartmentalize their lives?
They do.
And then how we need to see ourselves as one whole.
They do. They compartmentalize their lives, and they look at significant events and they say, this event is a good thing, so that must be what God's doing. This is not such a good thing, so that must not be where God is. Or this is a void, so there's nothing, God isn't there, but really it's an experience of God. When you're missing something, it's because you've had it.
Well, I also think, and this is my own perspective, is that creation is everywhere.
Yes.
And so it's whether or not we're acknowledging it or we're denying it.
Yeah.
Not that it is, and because of the fact that we as a human species are the only ones on the planet given choice.
Yeah.
So is our choices becoming like that bee who's lost its way, that mm-hmm. has forgotten how to read a pheromone, has forgotten what all of the signals that are being brought to it. And that's what's causing so much challenge within our world and in the natural world in terms of our agriculture, et cetera, is we've interfered with the signaling.
Yes. Yes.
And when we do that to one another, then we have an understanding, if we're honest, that we can reestablish those signals or hope it to clean it up, to clean the environment up, whether it's internal mm-hmm. or external, mm-hmm. to help to reestablish those signals. Because we're obviously here as a species, as are the bees.
Yes.
For a purpose.
Yes.
For a reason.
Yes. And they've been here longer than we have.
Absolutely.
Mm.
As all animals have.
Yes.
As all plants have.
Yes.
So is there any last thing that you'd like to share with people? If anyone wanted to get in touch with you, Sister Catherine, how would you want them to get in touch with you?
I would say over email.
And what is the best way?
And my email is all small case. It's KAHILL, RSM, Roy Sam Mary at comcast.net.
And yep. do you speak to non-religious groups? Do you speak, or are you just exclusively with the order?
No, we have our group, Wisdom of Women, is an ecumenical group. It's okay. Not identified with one particular faith tradition. Well, so, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us today.
Well, I want to thank you for inviting me. It's such a privilege.
It's easy, isn't it? Yeah. People always get worried, well, what am I going to say? What if I do it wrong? Yeah. You can't do it wrong. And Remy is a genius. He knows how to fix everything.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, I'll count on that.
So thank you so much. And thank you for the work that you're doing to help people find their own internal guidance.
Well, thank you for you. I feel like you're in my life for a reason. So here we are.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. This is Elaine Grohman for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. And please know that your internal guidance, just like the honeybee, is intended to help you find the direction so that you can bring sweetness into your life.